One of the traits of human behavior is we all want to know the future. You do, I do. You would love to know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, the next rest of your life. And the reason why is because when we think we can know the future, we think we have a little bit more control over it. We can be prepared for it. But God doesn't want you to have control over your future. He wants you to trust Him.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. If you'd like to have the amazing Unshakable study kit, which contains 8 video sessions and a workbook, it's available right now by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 800-600-5004. Just ask for the Unshakable DVD study kit when you contact us. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You're Asked to Do the Impossible.
You ever had a boss or a parent or a friend or somebody say, I need you to do this for me, and you go, there's no way I can get this done. I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the background, I don't have the talent, I don't have the connections. Your boss walks in and says, I need this by Tuesday. And you go, yeah, in the next life. Many times in your life, you'll be faced with an impossible situation. What do you do in that situation? I get the title from today's message from Daniel chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, where the advisors of this Babylonian king, Nebuchadnezzar, that we've been looking at for several weeks, they say to him, nobody can do what you ask. What you're asking is impossible. What do you do when you're asked to do the impossible? Now, I told you in previous message in this series that God always tests you before He blesses you. He tests you with stress before He trusts you with success. Before God gives you success, blessing, influence, power, whatever He wants to give you, He first sees, are you ready to handle it? He tests you with stress before He trusts you with success. And in this story of Daniel, we're looking at 9 major tests in his life. These are common tests that you're going to go through. He's already gone through 3 of them. Each one he passed, every time Daniel passes a test, he gets promoted. Remember, he starts out as a 15-year-old prisoner of war in a foreign nation. And by the time he's 85, 70 years later, he's the second most important man in the entire empire, and the Babylonian Empire was the number one empire in the world at that time. Enormous power, enormous influence. And he gets promoted every time he passes a test. And this is the test of when you're asked to do the impossible. Now, the story starts out in chapter 2 of Daniel, and it goes like this. In the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, now that means Daniel at this point is like 17 years old. He's been in his program, we talked about it last week, for 2 years, this training program of the king that he'd brought some POWs in. In the second year of King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he had a recurring dream that frightened him so badly he couldn't sleep. So he called in all of his magicians and psychics and fortune tellers and astrologers and demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. Now, this is not an unusual thing. I told you that the Babylonian culture was based on a cult. And the wise men, the advisors to the leaders in those days, were all these magician guys, these mediums, these necromancers, these sorcerers and magicians and astrologers, not astronomers. Astronomy is a legitimate science. Astrology is a fake religion. And so he brings all these people in and says, I had this really bad dream, and I need you to tell me the dream. The king said, I keep having this dream that troubles me. Tell me what I dreamed, then tell me what it means. Now, the astrologers answered, okay, just tell us your dream, and we'll tell you what it means. But the king said, no way. If you can't tell me what I dreamed, why in the world should I trust your interpretation? Good logic. You're a psychic. You can't tell me what I dreamed. How in the world can I trust you to tell me what it means? So he said, you tell me. If you can't tell me what I dreamed, you're just a bunch of fakes with no real power or wisdom. Now, it says, then all of the king's fortune tellers, they're all joining in together. And they said, nobody anywhere can do what you ask. to tell you what you dreamed without you telling us about it. And no king in history has ever demanded anything like this from any magician or medium or astrologer. So what you're doing is you're asking us to do the impossible. It's impossible. Now, this made Nebuchadnezzar furious, okay? He's really ticked off. And he says, I'm dead serious. If you can't tell me what my dream was, I'm going to have you all so-called wise men tortured and executed, and I'm going to have all your houses demolished into rubble. That's going over the top, would you say? I'm going to assassinate my entire court because you can't tell me my dream. This guy's mad. Now, the advisors begged, just tell us the dream, because anybody can make up a meaning to it. You know, if you tell us what it was, we'll make up the meaning. Then we'll interpret it. But the king said, no, not a zip, no. You are all condemned as worthless, and he issued a decree to execute all his royal advisors, including Daniel and his three Hebrew friends. So they're obviously not involved in this, but their advisors, they're all going to get killed. This is what you call, friends, a crisis. The king is about to assassinate you. And they're all worried about what's going on here. Why is he so upset? One of the traits of human behavior is we all want to know the future. You do, I do. You would love to know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year, the next rest of your life. And the reason why is because when we think we can know the future, we think we have a little bit more control over it. We can be prepared for it. But God doesn't want you to have control over your future. He wants you to trust him. And that's why he doesn't tell you the future. But we think, knowing the future somehow gives us a little grasp on control. And the more insecure you are in life, the more controlling you will be. Anytime you see somebody's a high control person, you can know they are a high insecurity person. The more insecure you are, the more you try to control everybody and everything around you. If you're secure, you don't need to control anybody. Hey, go on, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll all be fine. Now, today, 2,500 years later after this event in Babylon, people are still trying to figure out the future. And because they're desperate for control and they're desperate for hope, they're going to all kinds of kooks and quacks and seances and tea readings and palm readings and horoscopes and Ouija boards and seances and mediums and on and on and on and on, trying to find out what the future's all about and how to hold on to it. Now, before we look at how Daniel handles this problem, tell me my dream and tell me what it means, I'm going to just pause here since we're talking about astrologers and mediums and psychics and seances. Let me just pause here and give you three things God says about this. I want you to write these down. Three things that God says about predicting the future. Number one, you might write this down, is that God says, no one knows the future except God. No psychic, no fortune teller, no medium, no astrologer. Nobody, God says, knows the future except God. Anybody who tells you they know the future is lying. The day before the 9/11 attack happened, nobody would have predicted it. Most of the things that happen in your life that are major, you were surprised by, both the good things and the bad things. God says nobody knows the future. Anybody who tells you they can't, they know, are lying. And that brings me to these verses, Ecclesiastes 8:7. No one can tell the future. You say, but I heard of a guy. Do you really want to argue with God over this? No one. I could give you 50 verses from the Bible where it says nobody knows the future. I don't, you don't. Ecclesiastes 10:14. Fools claim to know the future, and they love to tell anybody who will listen, especially if you'll pay them. But no one knows what's going to happen. You see, God wants to reveal to me only enough that I can obey him today in this moment. And all the rest he wants to trust me to trust him for. He reveals only what I need to obey him in the moment. He wants me to trust him for all the rest. Now here's the second thing God says about the future. All psychics and mediums are frauds and fakes. 100%. All psychics and mediums, fortune tellers, astrologers are frauds and fakes. I didn't say this, God says it. And again, I could probably give you 50 verses in the Bible where God says, these guys are just conning you. They don't know anything. They don't know the future. They're 100% of them. And in fact, God says that they're used by Satan to confuse people and to get them off base. Let me show you a couple verses. The Bible says this in Isaiah chapter 44, verse 25. God says, I make fools of psychics and fortune tellers, and I frustrate the predictions of astrologers because their wisdom is foolishness. Let me show you a couple more. Leviticus 19, verse 31. Do not rely on mediums and psychics, for you will be defiled by them. I'm the Lord your God. So I don't want you looking at anybody else. You want to know the future, you come to me. You don't need to go to these people out there. You're going to be defiled by them. In fact, this is so serious. We're not just playing around here, folks. Here's what God says. Look at the next verse, Leviticus 20, verse 6. God says this, I am against, God talking, I am against anyone who goes to mediums or fortune tellers for advice, because that person is being unfaithful to me, so I will cut him off. Whoa! We just hit a tender spot with God here. If you're involved in any of this kind of stuff, and you're just like, oh, I'm just playing around, tea reading, palm reading, run from it. Get away from it. God says he doesn't want you near it with a 50-foot pole because you're trying to control the future, and on top of that, they're just fakes, they're frauds. They don't know. You're wasting time and you're wasting money. Because, in fact, in the Bible, in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells us that anybody who was a false prophet should be put to death in Israel. That's how serious this thing was. And now here's the third thing I want you to know about the future. God says this, the test of a true prophet of God is 100% accuracy. That's how you know if somebody who claims to be speaking the future, foretelling the future from God, is they are 100% accurate. In fact, God in the Bible gives us two checks by which you can check anybody out. And they say, well, I predict this is going to happen. He said, one of them is it's accurate. Does it always happen? He said, not 90% accurate and 10% false. He says, if it came from me, it's 100% accurate. A true prophet is never, ever, ever wrong. Not 99% right, and this is, I got that one a little off. No, God says they're always accurate. And he says it also always matches what I've already said in my word. Let me show you two verses. Deuteronomy 18, verse 20 and 1 and 22. God says this, if you want to know if a prophet or his message is really from God, you know, you're trying to test these guys. Here's how you test them. If any part is false, any part of what this guy's message or woman's message predicting the future is false or does not come true, then he and his message are fake and you should pay him no attention nor fear him. So the moment you mess up one time, you're a false prophet. One time, one little bit. In fact, God not only says that there's the accuracy test, there is the Bible test right here. Look at the next verse. Isaiah 8:20 says this, check their predictions against my word. He goes, read the Bible and then hear what they say. And he said, check their predictions against my word, says the Lord. If their predictions are different from mine, it's because there's no light or truth in them. Whoa. So, by the way, what Nebuchadnezzar did with those so-called psychics is the same way you can prove that every psychic is wrong. And here's how you prove them. Don't tell them a thing. Don't do their leading questions. Anybody can pick up a book on magic and read these leading questions. I can get you to pretty much say anything if I know the right questions to ask. And you'll tell me, and then I'll tell it back to you. And you think, man, Rick really knew that. No. Psychics never give them any information. They came to Nehemiah and said, tell us your dream and we'll give you the meaning. He goes, no. If you're so psychic, tell me the dream. You should know. And don't ever give any information to somebody who claims to be a psychic. So if you're on the phone, which you shouldn't be, to the psychic hotline, okay? And you're on the psychic hotline, and their first question is, what's your credit card number? You say, well, you should know that. You're a psychic. This is my test of you. If you're such a psychic, you should be able to read it. I'm holding it up right now. Okay? If they can't read your numbers, they're conning you. Okay? If they ask to ask for the number that's going to pay them, they're not very psychic. And so, why should you pay anybody who tells you what you already know? Like, you know, you go to a psychic and they go, you've got a brother. Yeah, I got a brother. Wow, that's psychic. And your brother is an M. No, a J. And they're watching you and see if you flinch. Jim. Yeah, I got a brother named Jim. $50, please. Why would I pay you for something I already know? That's not psychic. I already know that. I have a brother named Jim. That's just kind of dumb. Now, in this chapter that we're going to look at today, in the first part of the chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar has this disturbing nightmare, and he keeps having it over and over and over. He calls all his occultic people, and he says, tell me what my dream is, and tell me what it means. And they all fail. And so he says, well, I'm going to kill all you guys. You're worthless. You're out of here. And then in about 14, verse 14, about 30, Daniel shows up. He intervenes. He says, let me have a shot at this. And he goes off and prays, and he talks to God. God reveals to him in a prayer time the king's dream. Now, this is supernatural. It's impossible to figure that out. They could have guessed 1,000 different dreams and never guessed it. God gives Daniel not only the dream, but the meaning. He tells it to the king. The king honors Daniel, and Daniel and his friends get promoted. That's what we're going to look at. But what we're going to really look at is the 8 things Daniel did when he was faced with an impossible assignment. When your boss walks in and says, I want you to do this, and you go, there's no way it's going to get done. What do you do? Will you do the same 8 things that this young man Daniel did? He was only 17 years old when this happens. So what do you do when you're asked to do the impossible? Your boss asks you, the government asks you, a competitor asks you, somebody in the neighborhood, somebody asks you to do something, you go, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I don't have the wisdom, I don't have the background, the context, talent, or whatever. You do the 8 things that Daniel did in this situation when his life, and by the way, everybody else's life, is on the line. Now I want to tell you, from personal experience, for the last 36 years, I have used these 8 steps over and over and over and over and over and over and over as a leader. As I have led Saddleback Church from very small to the 16 campuses we have today, there were many, many times in the history of this church where we have faced an impossible situation financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, relationally, and I would do these things that Daniel did. You need what I'm about to teach you. Okay, here's what you do. Write fast because they don't take a lot of time to share. Number one, don't panic. That's number one. Don't panic or be afraid. Now, in Daniel's case, he had a legitimate reason to be worried. I mean, if the government sent somebody to assassinate you, you'd probably be panic. But he didn't. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 14, and we're going to follow just through the whole chapter, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. Now, once again, Daniel's faith is tested and he passes with flying colors. This is an amazing young man. He's only 17 years old. The most powerful man on the planet has ordered his assassination. The guy shows up to kill him and he handles the situation with wisdom and discretion. Not bad for a young teenage kid. He did not panic. He did not be afraid. By the way, what are you panicked about this morning? That job opportunity or that job problem, the financial situation. I'm never going to get out of debt. I'm feeling bad and I'm wondering if it's really bad. I wonder if my health is going the wrong direction. What are you worried about? Your marriage, your future, your dream. Don't panic. Number two, ask why. And what I mean when I say ask why is you want to learn all the facts and all the motivation behind the request. When somebody asks you to do the impossible, you need to find out why they've asked it. You need to get all the facts involved, and you need to find out the motivation for their asking. And if there's emotion, like there was with King Nebuchadnezzar, he's furious. What's fueling the fury? In this case, the king's clearly afraid. He has this recurring nightmare. He's scared to death, and now he's just kind of vomiting his fear out on everybody else, and he's taking it out and saying, you got to tell me here. When people are panicked and they're in a crisis, they get emotional. Now, maybe you're going to go to work this week, and your boss is going to come in, and he or she's going to really come down on you. And they're going to say, you got to get this done by this day, and you feel the pressure. You go, what's going on here? Well, in all likelihood, they're probably being pressured by their boss, the supervisor, the owner, or whoever. And when they're feeling the heat, they just turn around and put it on you. And when they're feeling fear, I might lose my job, then they start talking to you about you losing your job. So you need to know why the people are asking you to do this impossible thing. That's verse 15. Daniel asked. Daniel asked Arioch, this is the captain of the guard, why? Why has the king issued such a harsh decree? So Arioch told him all that happened. You got to get the facts. You might write this verse down. Proverbs 23:23. Living Bible says, get the facts at any price. Don't make a major decision just on emotion. Don't make a major business decision just on the way you feel. Feelings lie. Get the facts at any price. And in this step, what you want to do is you go, what do I need to know to do what I got to do? That's what you ask. When you're facing that deal is about to fall apart. That mountain of debt's about to come in on me. What do I need to do to get what I need to do done? And so you ask the question, why and what and why and what is the reason? What do I need to do in order to get this done? What do I need to know? Number three, third thing you need to do is ask for time to create a solution. Your boss comes in and says, I need this done, and he goes, it's impossible. You need to ask for time to create a solution. Now, the reason why you want to ask for time instead of just immediately get to work on it is because in a crisis, the greatest temptation you have is to be impulsive. If you're in a car accident, when you get out of that car, you're not thinking logically. You're not thinking rationally. You're in a car accident, you're thinking emotionally. And you want to make an impulsive decision, you want to make it fast. It's more important to make the right decision than to make a fast decision. The wrong decision is the wrong decision, no matter how fast or slow you make it. And so when you're facing an impossible situation, take a little time, step back, take a deep breath. Calm down. Talk to God. Yeah, Daniel is asking for some time because there's no way I'm going to know the king's dream. But God knows the king's dream, and so maybe I can find out from God. And so he's asking for time to create a solution. He knew he was going to need to spend some time with God. And the Bible says this in verse 16, Daniel 2:16. Daniel went at once to see the king and requested more time so he could tell the king what the dream meant. He's going to give it its best shot. He's not going to say, that's impossible, like the other guys did. You know, well, let's just see. Maybe God will tell me. I'm going to give it my best shot. I'm going to die trying it. That's what it takes. He went to see the king to request more time so the king could know what the dream meant. Now notice, circle the phrase, he went at once. While you want to take time for the solution, you want to make contact with the person who's done this as quick as you can. You don't procrastinate. You don't dawdle around. Now, this is pretty gutsy. Here's a 17-year-old kid. The king has orders of assassination. What does he do? He immediately goes to see the king, confronts him. That's pretty courageous. I don't know if I would have done that as a teenager. He goes immediately to the source of his pressure. He goes immediately to the source of his pain. He doesn't dawdle. He doesn't procrastinate. He doesn't delay. He doesn't postpone, he doesn't get distracted. He courageously faced the fear head on.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. As we look at the unprecedented things going on in our world today, it's clear that we need to be equipped with the resources to handle whatever life throws at us. That's why Pastor Rick has asked his team to make available to you a DVD study kit called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel. In these 8 powerful video sessions, Rick teaches you how to handle life's most unexpected circumstances and extreme pressures, how to avoid compromising on what you believe is right in God's eyes, how to handle success, how to learn from your mistakes, and how to pray the kind of prayers that God answers. This study is perfect for your individual quiet time or in a small group setting. To get your copy of the Unshakable DVD study kit, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Here's a testimony that was sent in from a woman named Marcia. She says, "Hi, Rick. What a blessing this radio show is. I am a survivor of the great white wave of mental illness." Well, Marcia, I understand that, and God is with you. Thanks for sharing that with me. She says, "Every day, first thing in the morning, I listen to Daily Hope. And I've texted your messages to so many people when the message of hope truly hits home for me. I praise the Lord for all your team. Don't ever stop. And I'm especially proud of what you and Kay are doing for mental illness. With love and praise, Marcia." Well, thanks for writing, Marcia. You know, one of our goals is to take the pain and the hurt we've had experienced in our own family and use it to help others. It's not a sin to be sick. Remember, your illness is not your identity. Your chemistry is not your character. God loves you. You can have a tender heart and a tortured mind at the same time. God is with you. And thank you for writing. And by the way, thanks to all the rest of you who write to me. And if you get a chance, jot me a note of what's going on in your life this week. God bless you.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.